If you would, remain standing and take your Bibles, and going to turn them right back to where we left off last week, and that is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 7. Gospel of John, chapter number 7, continuing with our last on the series, Standing for Jesus, the Water of Life. Again, the water of life referring to the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 7, verse number 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 9. And we've talked about Jesus Christ standing for him because he's given us eternal life and we can stand, everlasting life to stand. He's the light of life so we can stand, and now the water of life and so we can stand. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us. And this is going to be the last in this series. Amen. Again, we are in a battle. We are waging a war. And as a result, we want to be able to stand, want to be able to withstand. And according to Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, our job is to stand, therefore, with the armor of God on, fully clothed, to stand against the wiles of the devil. I've been looking at the fact that why we can stand in the Lord Jesus. We are complete in him. Amen. And so having that completeness gives us the ability to stand. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Read with me verses 37, 38, and 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Well, as we look at this last in the Stand for Jesus, Lord, these series of messages, help us to stand because, Lord Jesus, you've given us the water of life, the Holy Spirit to guide us, not just eternal life and perpetual life, everlasting life, Lord, not just the light of life, but, Lord, you've given us the water of life, the living waters, the Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to be consciously aware of the fact that we can stand because of that fact. And help us to review what John has to say about the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives, Lord. And help us to do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to take in what is taught, Lord, to let the Spirit of God guide us and lead us and direct us. And then most of all, Lord, may we leave the services today differently than when we came in, putting on another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, Lord, and getting another piece of the old man off and dead and crucified and buried. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Deal with our hearts today. There's one today without Jesus Christ that is lost and undone. Help them to find Christ in the Word of God, that they may be truly born again and saved today before it's everlasting too late. For Christians, minister in us and to us the Word of God. We may be reminded and refreshed once again of what we ought to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And you may be seated.
Find that our Savior turns dark. things. His power has never changed. Yes, God is able to transform your life. God is still doing great things. If we challenges life brings, God is still doing great things. He's doing great things. His power has never changed. A need, even for your soul. If you have a need, God will make you whole. My God is able. He is still able. My God is able to transform your
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Aren't you glad that God does great things, amen? Still saving souls. He's still changing lives, amen. He's still repairing homes, still setting the captives free. And those are great things. And I'm so glad that I am the recipient of some of the great things that God has done, amen. And if you're saved here, so are you. Amen. Well, what a blessing it is, once again, to be in the house of God. And, you know, I always look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our young people's lives, and just to see so many taking this first step of obedience, you know, thrills my heart. I always am reserved in quickly baptizing young people because I want them to understand, A, the significance of baptism, but then B, that baptism doesn't save. And I fear sometimes we can baptize a child too quickly and they associate the baptism with the salvation and the fact that they are depending upon that. And so I like to always walk slowly with children, making sure not to rush them, knowing that if they've trusted Christ, they're genuinely born again. And that step then comes when they have the understanding of that. And several of the young folks coming today have expressed that interest repeatedly, may I add, amen. And that's when you know they are ready, when they continue to bug you about, I want to take that first. first step of obedience. Amen. And so praise God for that. Well, we're continuing, and this is going to be the last in the message of Standing for Jesus, and we'll have another subject matter next month in our stand. And all year long, we've been talking about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. And that's what we want to do, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's so tricky. And what he does, but I'm so glad the word of God pulls the cover back and exposes him for who and what he is. Amen. A deceiver. Says the wiles of Satan. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. He wants to lie in wait to catch you off guard. Amen. And wants to lure you away, much like we do with mice. Amen. We put a little bit of food on that trap and the food looks good. Amen. And the mouse comes out there and then he tries to get that food and he gets trapped. Amen. Say, preacher, did you have mice? Yes. Amen. Did you catch many? Yes. Amen. Did some get away? Yes. Amen. The devil wants to catch you, but I praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the way to get away. Amen. He says there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. The devil can set all the traps he wants to, but if you've got the armor of God on, it will not impede your progress for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're picking up here dealing with this passage of scripture. We gave you the background last week, verses 1 through 10. We said that was describing Jesus and his relatives and how they didn't believe on him. Verses 11 through 29 dealt with Jesus and the religious crowd, their mixed emotions about him. Then verses 30 through 36, Jesus and their reactions. There's not going to be another than the Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to explain that to them. And then verses 37 through 39, Jesus and his revelation. He said, he that believeth on me, verse 38, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so we find that Jesus is the water of life, or the living waters. And he said, but this spake he of the Spirit. In your Bible, it should be a capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit, because it says, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So Jesus is speaking of the living waters, that when we trust Christ, we get that water of life, or the living waters, or the Holy Spirit of God. And he has a specific and special ministry in our lives. And John's gospel talks about that. And we started with that last week and we'll finish with that today. But before that, let me read you an interesting article I fell upon this week in my devotional time. It says, it's entitled The Invisible Influence. And it says this: on a visit to the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., I saw a masterpiece called The Wind. The painting showed a storm moving through a wooded area. Tall, thin trees leaned to the left. Bushes thrashed in the same direction. Then it goes on to say, in an even more powerful sense, the Holy Spirit is able to sway believers in the direction of God's goodness and truth. Amen. If we go along with the Spirit, we can expect to become more courageous and more loving. We will also become more discerning about how to handle our desires. By the way, our desires are not always good. In some situations, however, the Spirit nudges us towards spiritual growth and change, but we respond with a no, continually stonewalling this conviction is what the Scripture calls quench not the Spirit. Over time, things once considered wrong appear not to be quite as bad. And some of us can say amen on that. Amen. The devil can make bad things look good sometimes, and we fall prey to it. It goes on to say, when our relationship with God seems distant and disconnected, this may be because the Spirit's conviction has been repeatedly brushed aside. The longer this goes on, the harder it is to see the root of the problem. Thankfully, we can pray and ask God to show us our sin. If we turn away from sin and recommit ourselves to him, God will forgive us and revive us and revive the power and the influence of the Spirit of God within us. You know, I fell upon that this week and I said, that's exactly what we're talking about. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit of God is to get us to where we need to be. Now, he does many things in our lives. We're going to talk about several of those from the Gospel of John. But he wants to get us to where we need to be. So, preacher, what did we talk about so far? Number one, we said the Holy Spirit or living water preserves us. And we saw that in John 14 and verse 16 and 17. Verse 17 says this. Jesus speaking, even the Spirit of truth he was going to give them, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Notice this, and shall be in you. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit or living water preserves us. Amen. He keeps you where you need to be. We are the purchased possession, and God has given us a down payment of the Holy Spirit, showing that we belong to him. Amen and amen. Aren't you glad God preserves you? Amen. And by the Spirit of God. Number two, we said the Holy Spirit of living water provides teaching to us. John 14, 26 says it this way. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The question is then, if the Spirit's going to teach me, then I don't need anybody to teach me because I know everything. No, the Holy Spirit knows everything. There is a difference. He is God and he knows everything. You don't. Preacher, well, how will I know the things that I need to know? Ta-da. The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. If I've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that means that that is what the Holy Spirit uses to fight your battles. Amen. By the way, it's not your sword. It's his sword. He knows how to use it through you. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so he will teach you all things. Some folks say, well, I get saved and I don't need no man to teach me. Well, no, but you still aren't going to understand everything by yourself. Amen. You need somebody to instruct you. Well, I'll just get Jesus to instruct me. He instructed Paul, and Paul is instructing you through the Word of God. Amen. Now, maybe you're not like most, and you can get instructed by God and go in your little corner, amen, and get along with God, and he's going to teach you all things, but that's not normal. That's not the way it normally goes. Somebody somewhere along the line normally has to instruct you a little bit in the Word of God. Amen. Now, there are exceptions. Not many, but there are exceptions. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit's job, number two, found in the Gospel of John, then is to provide teaching to us. Then number three, go over to John chapter 15. John 15, because Jesus said, I'm going to give you this living water. And this is the Holy Spirit of God. And what is his job? John 15 and verse 26. We come over here. Jesus is speaking to them starting in chapter number 14. And if you've got a red letter edition Bible, most of that is going to be in red because Jesus is just telling them not to be concerned about his departure. And he says his departure is normal because he's going to go away. But when he goes, he's going to give the Spirit of God to them. And 14, 15 and 16 begins talking about that aspect. Let's park in 15. Notice verse number 26. Jesus is still speaking here and speaking of the Comforter. And what are we talking about here? The Holy Spirit of living water points to Jesus. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, notice this, even the what? Spirit of truth, should be a capital S in your Bible, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall, notice this, testify of me. Testify of me. What is the Holy Spirit's job here? Holy Spirit or the living waters points to Jesus. He shall testify of me. Very rarely do you see, and I'll say, so-called spirit-filled people testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ that men need to get saved. Amen. And I said so-called. Now, they'll babble a whole bunch of stuff, and they'll tell you a bunch of stuff, and, oh, God told me this, or God told me this. No, God tells you that people need to be saved. He's going to testify of Jesus Christ, not of your foolishness. Amen. Had people tell me, well, Holy Spirit came to tell me to tell you. Really? I remember, and it happened not too long ago, somebody said, and I was just getting ready to preach. The Holy Spirit told me, I said, stop right there. I said, tell me after service. I said, tell me after service. They never did tell me after service. I said, stop. They said, well, the Spirit, I got this boyfriend. And I said, is the boy saved?
Well, no, he's not saved. I said, well, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I know, but the Holy Spirit talked to me and he's told me that it's okay. That's like the policeman telling you it's okay to break the law. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you contrary to his word. But that's it. Oh, well, God told me and showed me in this, and I know it's contrary to scripture. Oh, red flags already. I know it's contrary to scripture, but you sure that's not, John said, try the spirits. See whether they're of God or not. There are many spirits going out into the world. Hey, I've had it happen. Brother Neil, I'm sure you've had it as well. Spirit of God told me. Brother Scott, I'm sure you had it as well. Spirit of God told me. And you just look at him and say, you can't believe that, can you? But then, wait a minute, stop that. Yeah, you can believe that. Because it's not the Spirit of God. Hey, what does it say here? Jesus said, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, there you go right there, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. The word testify there means to be a witness, to tell folks they need to be saved, to tell them about Jesus. Hold your finger there and go over to Acts chapter number 1, and you see the fruition of this or the fulfillment of this, Acts chapter number 1. And this is when this all came to play in their lives, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit or indwelt forever. Acts chapter number 1. Matter of fact, let's come down to chapter 1 and verse 6, because the disciples asked a good question. They said, when they therefore, verse 6, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Politely, you know what Jesus said? None of your business. He politely said, none of your business. You don't need to know that. That's not for you to know. But he did say this. But ye shall receive power after that, what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what is the direct result of the Holy Spirit's power coming on your life and filling you? Conjunction. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. He said, when the Spirit of God comes, you're going to be a witness of me. You're going to be able to testify of me. You'll be able to boldly tell people about me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and into Samaria, and into the uttermost part. Wherever you go, I'm going to empower you to talk for me. By the way, you can't talk about Jesus in the flesh. Amen. 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 You and I don't have the wherewithal to do it. That's a work of the Spirit. He empowers you and puts the power behind the Word of God to speak through you to get people saved. Amen. Hey, we can do a whole lot of damage in the flesh. I must say, I've run off of many people in the flesh trying to get them saved. Call myself going to get them saved. And run them slap off. You know why? In the flesh. In my flesh, it's got to be a work of the Spirit. He says, the Spirit's going to come upon you. He says, and you're going to be a witness. He's going to work through you the Word of God so that people can get saved. So when folks come to you and say, well, the Spirit of God told me, you say, stop. Show me in the Bible where he told you that. Give me a principle. Give me something. Give me a principle. It doesn't have to be black and white, but give me a principle. I've given you one. You should not be unequally yoked with believers. But you come back and say, but the Spirit told you. He cannot tell you contrary to his word. It's got to be principle. It's got to be fact. It's got to be something in the Bible that alludes to what you're trying to say the Spirit of God told you to do. Then they had nerve to come back and say, well, he wants me to be a witness to him. Why is he going to be the boyfriend, huh? Really? Needless to say, they're not in church anymore. Amen, Jeff. And you say, the Spirit of God that they supposedly listened to was not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of the devil that got them right out of the church. Right. Amen. Amen. Going with the so-called boyfriend or girlfriend and can't bring them to church, but they can sure take you out of the church. It's the devil's plan. What are you saying? He will testify of me, and that's what I should do. All throughout Acts, you see people filled with the Spirit of God. What do? They spoke for the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke for the Lord Jesus Christ. They witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. They talked about Jesus Christ. They said, you must be saved. You must be born again. These things come from God. You've got to be saved. What am I saying? He will testify of me. Back over in John chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, 15:26, whom I will send in to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye
also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. Number four, what else does the Spirit of God do? The Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John or the living water produces proof. Turn over one chapter, chapter 16, because Jesus is continuing to go on to explain to them the workings of the Spirit of God because they didn't fully comprehend the workings of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus went through great length to say, let not your heart be troubled in chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. 14, 15, he says, yeah, I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to be connected with me. He said, without me, you can do nothing. 15, he begins to tell them more things. And 16, more things about the Spirit of God. And come over here in chapter 16 and notice what he says down here in verse number 8. Or verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or it's necessary, it's good for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus said, you know, whilst I'm with you, you didn't need the Comforter. But now I'm leaving. You need someone to be with you. You need someone to instruct you. You need somebody to tell you what to do. I was with you before. I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you another one like myself, the Paraclete, the one to come alongside you, the one to tell you what you need to do. He says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Notice verse number 8. What is the Holy Spirit going to do? And when he is come, notice a personal pronoun, he. When he, the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of truth, or the Comforter is come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Let's look at those three real quick. The Holy Spirit of living water produces proof to help us turn to God. Notice it says, he will reprove. The word reprove there means to convince and convict of sin or to tell of faults or sins. In other words, his job is to prove to men that they have sinned against God. Amen. The Word of God is a testimony of the goodness of God, that man has sinned against God and man needs to come back to God. The Spirit's job is to take the Word of God to prove to men that they have gone away from God and they need to come back to God. He said he will reprove. He will tell of fault. He will tell of their sins. What did David say? Against thee only have I sinned. Now, didn't he sin against Bathsheba? Yes, he did. Didn't he sin against Uriah? Yes, he did. Didn't he sin against the office of the king? Yes, he did. Didn't he sin against the grandfather? Yes, he did. Didn't he sin against everybody? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah. Didn't he sin against his own wife? Yes, he did. But David had sense enough to know, I've been reproved. And the proof of my sin showed me that I sinned against God. Against thee and thee only have I done this wickedness, he said. What am I saying? The Spirit's job is to reprove the world. He produces proof. Prove that men have sinned against God. Reprove means to convince or convict, tell sin, or tell of a fault. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives proof of sin in our lives. Notice what it says down, Romans 3:23 says, for all have what? We can quote the verse, sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hold your finger there. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. Because folks say, well, I didn't sin like Adam. No, you didn't have to. I didn't bite of the fruit. You didn't have to. I didn't listen to the serpent. Yes, you did. By the way, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 shows that although you may not have sinned after the similitude of Adam, you still are going to die because the wages of sin is death, and your sin and my sin is by nature and by choice of the old man. No one forces you to sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, I had to break the speed limit, officer. No, you didn't. I had to steal that candy out of the store, officer. No, you didn't. I had to shoplift that dress, officer. No, you didn't. They showed on the camera, some ladies was in the liquor store stealing booze. And the camera caught them taking the booze and stuffing it down in their stuff like this. They came in, I guess, at 120 pounds and left out at 200 pounds. Amen. And they were stuffing all this alcohol in their clothes and walking out of the store with all this stuff and got busted on the camera. Well, we were having a party and I had to steal that stuff. Really? Really? What am I saying? He reproves of sin. The Holy Spirit gives proof of sin in our lives. Romans 5, verse 12. Notice what he says. Wherefore, as by how many men? One man sin entered the world. That's Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many men? All men. For that all have what? Sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. He's talking about the law of Moses there.
He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. These people still died even though they didn't have the law. From Adam to Moses, people died. Why did they die? And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what God said? Die. And guess what? From that point, Adam and Eve, they started what? Dying. Well, I didn't eat of the fruit, but you're still dead. He says down there, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man who, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the law came in, just showed us how sinful we really were. Amen. The law came and said, look, thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt, and thou shalt do this. And thou shalt do this. And that showed they couldn't even do that. So let's just narrow it down to 10. And they couldn't do that. Let's just narrow it down to the first four. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. Don't have any idols. Don't bow down to them. Don't take any graven. Remember the Sabbath day. Let's just go with those. They couldn't even do those four. And folks have the audacity to say, I'm saved. How do you know? I kept the Ten Commandments.
There you go, Pastor.
Liar, pants on fire. You got to get out of here. No. Most of us get gigged on the honor thy father and thy mother as a kid. Most of us get gigged on thou shalt bear no false witness. I mean, we're dead as a kid already. First time you come here, little Johnny. No. Law. Pow. You're done. Honor thy father and mother. Did you take that candy, Jimmy? No. Pow. You're done. I'm bearing false witness. Wouldn't be any children alive. We wouldn't be here. We would have got taken out as a kid. So there would be none of our kids here. This guy would be the only one up here preaching. He can't sin because he's not alive. Amen. Hey, he says, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit gives proof of sin in our lives, lets us know that we have sinned against God. Amen. Even though death, these people were not under didn't do what Adam did, they still died. And guess what? Even after Adam and after Moses, we still, guess what? Die. You know why? The wages of sin is still death. And so the Holy Spirit or the living water produces proof in our lives. He says the Holy Spirit gives proof of sin in our lives. But then the Spirit gives proof of righteousness not in our lives. Notice what it says down there. Go back to John chapter 14. He gives a proof of righteousness not in our lives. It says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Notice what it says in verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. When Jesus left, they saw righteousness in the flesh. They saw the Godhead bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to go away and you're going to understand I was the light. I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. And when I go away, you're going to say, whoa, we have just been visited by someone that is not of this world. Yes, his name is Jesus Christ. His name is God Almighty. His name is Jehovah. He is the one. He provides proof of the righteousness not in us. I tell you, when you see Jesus Christ, he will show you how righteous you really aren't. You may come up with your own righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. You may say, well, I've done this and I've said this and I gave this and I did that. And that's all fine and well. Praise God for you. But when you see Jesus, it shows you the righteousness that you don't have and the righteousness that you need. He said, to reprove the sin, the world of sin. I see of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He provides a proof of sin in our lives. He provides proof of righteousness not in our lives. But then also the Holy Spirit gives proof of judgment at the end of our lives. He says down there, and of judgment to come in verse number 8. Notice verse 11. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And I'm so glad he was judged at the cross. It is finished. And my judgment will either be at the cross of Christ or it will be in the lake of fire. Your judgment will either be at the cross of Christ or in the lake of fire. One of the two. Hold your finger there. Go over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. He said, the Spirit, his job, the Holy Spirit, he provides proof of sin in our lives, of righteousness not in our lives, of judgment at the end of our lives. Luke chapter 16, that was verse 23. This is the rich man, if you've never read it, dealing with the rich man, how he fared sumptuously and had everything. But then the beggar Lazarus laid at the door of his house and didn't have anything. Lazarus died and went to heaven. But the rich man died and went to hell. Notice what it says in verse 22 of chapter 16 in Luke's gospel. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice this, verse 23, conjunction. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Who's this he? It's the rich man. Being in what? Torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Yes, in hell, you have a tongue. For I am tormented in this fire. Yes, in hell you have feelings. But Abraham said, son, remember, yes, in hell you have a memory, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. Yes, I have feelings. Notice down there in verse 26, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot neither can they pass to us that would from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, yes, in hell you can pray. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Yes, you can have desires and wishes that others can avoid the place that you're in. My friend, what am I saying? The Spirit's job is to provide proof of the judgment to come. I was not afraid of anything that man had to say, but I tell you what, I was definitely afraid of this book and what it said about me. Men could say a whole lot about me and I could just water off a duck's back, but when I heard about the judgment to come, I said, oh boy, woe is me. I'm going to fry. I still remember that book, This Was Your Life. I got to the point where the angel was over presiding over the lake of fire. Boy, I closed that thing up and I said, not for me. No, I want no parts of that. And people that say they're atheists, atheists weren't born. They weren't born. They were made. Because everybody has a place in their heart for God that only God can fill. What happens to get a person an atheist, something happens in their life disagreeable or something atrocity or bad or ill. And you know who they blame? God. And they say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Yes, you did once upon a time. What happened in your life? What happened in your life? Because think about the innocence of children. Children aren't born saying, I hate God. When's the last time you heard a child say that? They go through life and life's experiences start beating them down. They don't have an answer and they blame it on God. And then they say, I'm an atheist. Out by my house, there's those road signs that you can put up and you can buy. And every time I come past the Dunkin' Donuts, it says Tucson Atheist. Sometimes I want to get out and rip that thing down and say, there are no atheists. Amen. Everybody believes in God. Just what God do you believe in? Amen. You believe in that angry God that you are blaming your situation on? And so you call yourself an atheist. Even the atheist, the Spirit's job still is to reprove them of their sin and of their righteousness that they don't have and of their judgment to come. He still does it. They can be shouting and not believe it. But at the end, guess what? It's still true. It's still true. And they'll be just like this rich man. And folks, that is not God's desire at all. What am I saying here? The Holy Spirit or the living water produces proof. The Holy Spirit gives proof of sin in our lives. He gives proof of righteousness not in our lives. He gives proof of judgment at the end of our lives. And then lastly, the last thing that we're going to cover in this, go back to John chapter 16 with me. John 16. Again, we're only covering what the Spirit does in John's gospel. We're still not covering all that, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. We saw number one, the Holy Spirit or living water preserves us. He shall be in you, John 14, 17. The Holy Spirit, living water, provides teaching to us, John 14, 26. He shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit or living water points to Jesus. He says, he shall testify of me. Number four, the Holy Spirit or living water produces proof. He shall reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16, 8. And then lastly, John 16, 13. The Holy Spirit or living water produces perception to help us with the word of God. Notice down in verse 13, howbeit, when he, Notice he refers to him again as he did in verse 8, when he, the Spirit of truth, should be a capital S again, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. Folks, we don't need to fall for error. Why? He guides us into truth. When we go into error, we're going contrary to the Spirit of God. He will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And folks, hear me. This is why people get involved in truth. They don't study their Bible. They don't understand from Genesis to Revelation that this is one complete book. They want to get one little nuance in the Word of God and build a doctrine on that. And they don't understand anything about dispensations, how God dealt with Adam and Eve differently than he does with us, how he dealt with Moses and his crowd during the time of law, and how he's dealing with the church and grace. And they don't understand the different time periods in the Bible, so they want to take a doctrine and say, this is what it said. They want to blame salvation on baptism, say, well, unless you're baptized, you're not saved. Folks, that's not a doctrine. That's error. And they want to take scriptures and apply them and huckster the Word of God and use it unwisely. Many times we're not going into truth because we're not studying the Bible as we ought to, and we're getting involved in error.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
By the way, we don't worship God on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You can do that if you want to. But we honor the Lord Jesus Christ by worshiping on the first day of the week from which he rose from the dead. And there are places out there where folks are droving into these places trying to keep the law when Christ is the end of the law.
Amen.
But they're still trying to keep the law. Why? Error. But the Spirit's going to guide you in all truth. And they say, well, the Spirit's guiding me in that. No, he's not. No, he's not guiding you in that. You're in error. And your heart breaks and it bleeds for them. You want to say, no, can't you understand? But I got to understand something. I can't make them understand. That's the Spirit's job. That's the Spirit's job. He said, he will guide you. He didn't say Pastor Dawson would. Pastor Dawson can show you the Word of God. But he's going to guide you. He'll reprove the world of sin. He'll reprove the world of judgment. He'll reprove the world of things to come. That's his job. He will lead them. My job is just to say, here is it. You know, a shepherd can only get the food ready. He can't make the sheep eat. And so he says, the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Again, who is he going to testify of the Lord Jesus? He's not going to speak of himself. The Spirit's job is not to tout himself. But what do you hear people saying? Well, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. He gets more praise than Jesus does sometimes in some churches. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's like, come on, give it a rest. He shall not speak of himself, the Bible says. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. He said his job is not to speak of himself. His job is to testify of me. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Spirit's job is to get men's hearts prepared to turn to God, to show them they've sinned against God, to show them they need to return to God. But let me tell you, there's a spirit of error out there that is not the Spirit of truth. And more people are following the spirit of error than they're following the Spirit of truth. You know why? Because it feels good. It sounds good. It tastes good. It even looks good. Well, you can dabble in your sin and still have church. Yeah, but you can't have righteousness. Well, you don't have to worry about the end, the judgment at the end, because once you're dead, you're just dead. That ain't what the book says. You're just annihilated. You cease to exist. And the rich man had a memory. I don't think that's called ceasing to exist or annihilation. What am I saying? The Spirit of truth is there. What is his job? It's to guide you into all truth, to show you things to come. And he says, hey, look, I'm trying to get you to understand, disciples. You're going to get this Spirit. You're going to get this power. He's going to show you these things. Notice verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. He says, this is what's going to happen with you. When you and I get saved, we have this same ability of the Spirit's power to work in our lives. Not to get foolish, not to do our own things, but to turn back to God, to do God's will, to have the ability to speak to people and tell them they need to be saved, not to speak foolishness and blame it on the Holy Spirit of God and say, well, God showed me and God told me.
I was reading earlier about Jeremiah and how Jeremiah was speaking to the people. You're reading through your Bible, and a year you read through that same portion. And he gave the word of God. But this old false prophet came up there and broke the yoke off of him, saying, God didn't say that. God said in 2 years they're going to be saved. And he came back and he said, all right, if what you're saying is true, so be it. God said, go back and tell him that he ain't going to live, but he's going to die. He said, well, God told me to tell you, yeah, you're going to die. You know what happened shortly thereafter? He died. I'd have been listening to Jeremiah a whole lot more. But you know what? Still, people don't listen. Still, they don't listen. Still, they don't listen. What am I saying? Jesus said, I'm going to give you the living water, which is the Holy Spirit. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he said, this he spake concerning the Holy Spirit. Folks, if you're saved here today, you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. And his job is to do several things according to John's gospel. Now, he does a whole lot more. But please, don't blame foolishness on the Spirit of God. Don't blame some things that are going contrary to the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, I didn't know. That's why he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's why he said, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. Many false prophets are going out in the world. Folks, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If it sounds like, boy, that just doesn't sound right, it's probably not. Why? If you're saved, you've got the Spirit of truth. But even the best of us can get bamboozled by the trickster, the devil. He knows the Word of God a whole lot better than you and I. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's sword, and he wants to guide you and direct you. In closing, the Holy Spirit of living water preserves us. He shall be in you. He provides teaching. He shall teach you all things. He points to Jesus. He shall testify of me, Jesus said. He produces proof of sin in our lives, righteousness not in our lives, judgment at the end of our lives if we're not saved. The Holy Spirit then lastly produces perception. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will not testify of himself, but of me. He will glorify me, Jesus said. If you're saved here, Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God, and we can and should stand for Christ. Why? Because he has given us the water of life, the Holy Spirit. There's no reason for us as Christians to fall. Why? Because we have the water of life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, those children that need to step out for baptism, you need to go ahead and step out. Parents, if you need to step out with them, go ahead and step out with them. But those of us that are still here, the Spirit of God, the water of life is directing in our lives. His job is to testify of Jesus Christ. My first question is, are you saved? So, preacher, I think I'm saved, but are you saved for sure? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Maybe the Spirit of God is pricking at your heart about the judgment to come. You say, well, preacher, I hope I'm saved, but I'm not sure. That's not me. That's the Spirit of God. He will show you of this judgment to come. That's his job. He will reprove the world of righteousness and of judgment to come. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. Would you pray for me? I want to be saved. I don't want to end up like that rich man. And maybe the Spirit of God is pointing to you. If that's the case, I want to pray for you today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no looking around. Say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. Just raise your hand right up. I'll acknowledge it. And you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? All across this room. Secondly, I only scratched the surface of what the Spirit of God is doing and can do in lives. But one of the things that he will do, he will allow you to be a witness to someone else. Tell them how good God is. Maybe you need to be a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Telling him to fill you so that you can be a witness. He said he would testify of me. Maybe the Spirit of God is working in your heart. And if we're honest, I think we all will agree we could be a better witness for Christ.
we could all speak for him a little bit better and represent him a little bit more effectively by letting the Spirit guide. Maybe today you need to say, Lord, work through me a little bit better. Lord, fill me so that I can be a witness to those that are around me. Lord, help me. Maybe that's your testimony today. But let me give you this. We can stand for Jesus. He's given us the water of life, the Spirit of God. Maybe you need to stand better at your job. Maybe in your school. Maybe in your family. Maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe amongst your relatives. Maybe with the buddies that you hang out with. Maybe with your girlfriends. But whatever it is, would you let God help you stand for Jesus using the water of life, the Spirit of God? Father, thank you for these that have joined today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. And God, we just scratched the surface of what the Holy Spirit can do and should do in our lives. And I pray that you would work in our lives during this invitation. Maybe some need to move and allow you to help them stand a little bit better. And Lord, I pray that as the Spirit moves, we will respond and do what you have called us to do. And that is to say, Lord, fill me, empower me to do what you would call me to do, that I may do it and please you. And Lord, that one that's not saved, that man, that woman, that boy or girl, would you save them and help them to be more obedient to thee. Thank you for loving us. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet just for a moment. As the piano begins to play, maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe you need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and just ask God to work in your heart a little bit more, that you may let the Spirit of God work in your life. He preserves you. He provides teaching for you. He points to Jesus. He provides proof. Proof of sin in our lives. Proof of righteousness not in our lives. Proof of judgment at the end of our lives. He produces perception, allows us to be guided in all truth. Things to come. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I just need to keep standing. I'm already standing for Jesus. I don't want to fall. Because you know what? We can fall. You know, we can take a stand, but we have the capability to fall. Maybe today in your heart, you need to say, Lord, just help me to stand. Help me to keep standing. Help me to keep standing at my job. Help me to keep standing in school. Help me to keep standing in my family. Help me to keep standing in my devotions, in my prayer. Help me to keep standing in my Bible study. Help me to keep standing in my church, doing that which I know all to do. Being a blessing, being a friend, being a help, being an encouragement. Help me to stand reading my Bible. Lord, just help me to stand. Great is the ability to fall. Great is the opportunity to do that which is not right. But Lord, help me to stand. Let God speak to your heart today. The Spirit of God gets blamed for many things that he does not do, but the Bible is clear. There are many things that he does do, and he does them very well. We just have to yield to the Spirit. Allow him to do those things through us. Only trust him. Only trust him. We can and should stand for Christ because he's given us the water of life, the Holy Spirit. Believe him, trust his word. Only trust him, only trust him. Father, we thank you once again for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for giving us Jesus, the water of life, the Holy Spirit, to provide for us, Lord, to guide us, Lord, to direct us, to teach us, to prove us, and to give proof to us. Lord, so many things that the Spirit of God does, and Lord, we've only scratched the tip of the iceberg even here in the Gospel of John. But help us, Lord, as you have directed our hearts, to allow the Holy Spirit to do in us what he wants to do. And that is to obey the word of God through us, that we may yield to him. I thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the baptism. I do pray that there will be no one that leaves the way they came in. They may be moved by the Spirit of God. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit, you can. And I pray by the word of God, you would challenge our hearts to do more for Christ, that others may see the goodness of God in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated just for a few moments.